February, which is also the 27th of Sha'ban 1427. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created us, sustained us, and blessed us with the gift of being a Muslim. May the peace and blessings of Allah be with our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companion, his household, and those who follow his footsteps until the day of judgment. Ameen. We thank Almighty Allah who has spared our life to this very moment for us to be alive, to be looking forward to the month of Ramadan. We give thanks to Allah who has made it possible for us. We also give thanks to Allah who has spared our life to this very moment. So no one can guarantee that everyone will witness Ramadan except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the blessing from Allah. Now, we are going to quickly go straight to the agenda of the day. And for those that are just joining us, so this lecture is being hosted by Path to Paradise, Nigerian Muslims that are living in New Brunswick, Canada. So we'd like to thank each and every one of us for joining us this afternoon. And we'd like to thank our lecturer as well for also joining us this afternoon. So the topic for today is going to center on the preparing for Ramadan through the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Sha'ru Ramadan al-Ladina unzila fi Quran hudan lil-nasi wal-bayyinat min al-huda wal-furqan, till the end of that ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the month of Ramadan, the month in which the Quran was revealed as guidance for mankind and clear fruit of guidance and criterion. So preparing for Ramadan does not start with a food schedule or sleep adjustment. One of the major action that we need to do in Ramadan is preparing on how to be very close with our Quran. And it also starts with our heart. And the heart is revealed by the Quran. So the Quran helps us to prepare to fast with sincerity, to pray with humility, to control our desires, and also to walk out of Ramadan transformed and not exhausted. So our lecture today is going to be a pre-Ramadan lecture, which is going to set stone for the subsequent lectures that we are going to be having. And we have in our midst today our Sheikh, Sulaiman Sheikh Abu Ubaida, and he has not a new face to our forum, and he was born in Nori and raised in Kaduna. He has a master's in chemical engineering from Ahmadu Bello University, and currently works as a chemical engineering technologist with CDU Zaria. And in terms of Islamic knowledge, he studied under renowned scholars from the northern part of Nigeria and also in Nigeria at large, specializing in Tawhid, Hadith, Usul Fiqh, and Qawaidul Al-Fiqhiyya. And he is the founder and the leader of Darul Hadith, Litasfiya Watalbiya in Kaduna. He is married with four children and balancing professional and personal life while focusing on teaching and Dawah. So, Jazakumullah Khairan, Assalamu Alaikum, Sheikh, for joining us this afternoon. May Almighty Allah continue to prolong your life in goodness and also to improve your knowledge of Al-Islam. So, inshallah, I'm going to hand over this mic to you so you can start a lecture. The lecture is going to go for 1 hour. Then, if we have any questions, we're going to take a few questions if we have any.
Ustaz Sheikh,
Jazakumullah Khairan for joining us. I'll hand over the mic to you for you to start the lecture now.
Tafadol.
Assalamu
alaikum.
You are on mute.
Okay.
let's give our lecturer 1 or 2 minutes. I believe he's trying to sort out 1 or 2 technical glitch there. Abu Beda, you're on mute. You are speaking now.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته my brothers and sisters وعليكم السلام ورحمه
الله وبركاته
الحمد لله we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى alone without partners and ask for his mercy and blessings upon the soul of prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم indeed whoever Allah has guided there is no one that can misguide him and whoever Allah has allowed to be misguided then no one can put him aright I bear witness that there is no deity that is worthy of worship or truth except Allah and I testify that Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is his slave and his messenger we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has given us this opportunity Today being the 27th day of Sha'ban, 1,447 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina, which is equivalent to the 15th of February 2026. Let me quickly just appreciate my brother, Jazakallah khairan, and thank you for having me. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would assist us in the course of delivering and discussing this very important topic. Which centers on preparing for Ramadan through the Quran. And I want to sincerely pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to extend our lives with sound health to witness the Ramadan that is so close. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the favor of participating in that blessed month. The month of Quran, the month of mercy, the month of rahmah, the month of forgiveness, the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates people from hell. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spare our lives altogether with sound health to be able to witness that blessed month. It is indeed a great favor when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the person to witness Ramadan. We have brothers and sisters who witnessed the last Ramadan, yet they are not with us today. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make us live long to observe so many Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is a blessing, is a mercy to mankind when we consider the virtues of Ramadan. Ramadan has so much virtues. Ramadan is one of its kind. There is no month out of the 12 months of Islam that is like Ramadan. The blessings we have in Ramadan, the forgiveness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes in Ramadan, the emancipation from hell that we find in Ramadan, these blessings are so much that it's necessary that we prepare for it. We prepare for it physically, and we prepare for it mentally, we prepare for it spiritually. Because the month is the month of forgiveness. When Allah makes you to leave to Ramadan, it is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive you. Every door of forgiveness is opened. Every door of mercy is opened. And so you have every opportunity to grow and earn the favor of Allah and earn His forgiveness and earn His paradise. When Ramadan comes, all the doors of paradise are opened. The doors of hell are closed. Devils are tied down, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is to show that a person has every opportunity to earn Allah's mercy. So we should try to utilize that opportunity, because the one who does not utilize opportunity has himself to blame. And that's why when the Prophet ﷺ said Ameen in that popular hadith, we know one of the reasons why the Prophet said Ameen is that the Jibreel prayed that whoever leaves to witness Ramadan and does not earn Allah's forgiveness, then may Allah rub his nose in dust. It's because he actually deserves that. It is like somebody having every opportunity to be forgiven by Allah, and the person misuses that opportunity. He has himself to blame. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the opportunity to utilize and give us the strength to utilize that opportunity. Now the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran has some uniqueness with the word of Allah. There is no word that is like the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the powers embedded in the Quran. And Allah mentioned in the Quran that Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. The Quran is revealed in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadri." The Quran was revealed in the night of majesty, the night of destiny. In another verse, he said, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakatin." Indeed, we revealed it, that is the Quran, in a blessed night. So that blessed night is referring to Laylatul Qadri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, like my brother just did, when he started his talk, he said, Allah mentioned in the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Assalamu alaikum, are we together?
Recording in progress.
Looks like we lost our lecturer.
Okay.
He is going to join us very soon.
Assalamu alaikum.
Are you there?
Yes, yes. Can we see
now?
Yeah, I think
okay,
I have
a little
glitch. Okay. So, talking about the verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed, هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ, to serve as a guide for mankind, وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. So, you see, there is a very, very strong connection between Ramadan and the Quran. There is a very strong connection. Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. Ramadan is the most blessed month in the year, and the Quran is the most blessed book of Allah. So these two combinations coming together makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the month of Ramadan to be the month of Quran, not just because the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. But most of the activities we do in the month of Ramadan are associated with the Quran. The Taraweeh we observe, it's more of reciting the Quran. The Qiyam al-Layl we observe, it's more of reciting the Quran. And so, recitation of the Quran, memorizing the Quran, understanding the meanings of the Quran in terms of the tafsir of the Quran, these are all activities that we see or we need to do in the month of Ramadan. The Quran has that effect, that strength, some of the things we learn in the Quran. And I will just mention a few to make us know the reason why we need to really work on our understanding of the Quran, recitation of the Quran, memorization of the Quran. Because the Quran is the only book that you recite and you get reward. Its recitation alone makes you earn a reward even when you don't understand what you have recited. For instance, one cannot speak Sahih al-Bukhari now and he begins to read Sahih al-Bukhari without understanding the meaning of Sahih al-Bukhari, and he expects to get reward. No, he doesn't get the reward. But the Quran is a book that has been defined as al-muta'abbadu bitilawatihi, that reciting it alone is an act of ibadah. Reciting it alone is an act of ibadah, even when one does not understand the meaning of the Quran. As much as we are encouraged to understand the meaning, reciting the Quran is an act of ibadah that makes us to get rewards. Like the Prophet said, reciting an alphabet in the Quran makes you get 10 rewards. And the Prophet said, I'm not saying when you see Alif Lam Mim, you get 10 rewards. No, I'm saying when you see Alif, you get 10 rewards. Lam, you get 10 rewards. Mim, you get 10 rewards. So by saying, by reading Alif Lam Mim, even when you don't understand the meaning, then you get 30 rewards. It is only the Quran that has this peculiarity. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the recitation of the Quran to be an obligatory act of ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran saying, إِنَّمَا أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ رَبَّ هَذِهِ الْبَلْدَةِ الَّذِي حَرَّمَهَا وَلَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah said, I have only been instructed to worship the Lord of this city, that is the city of Mecca. And he said, he is the Lord of the city of Mecca and the Lord of everything. And I have also been instructed to be amongst the Muslims, وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ, and I have been instructed to recite the Quran. Recitation of the Quran is a great act of ibadah as far as the month of Ramadan is concerned. In fact, when we say, aside the salawat, the five daily salah that we have to observe in the month of Ramadan, the greatest act that a Muslim should engage in the month of Ramadan is for him to engage in the recitation of the Quran, engage in the memorization of the Quran, engage in learning the meanings of the Quran, and engage in walking with the Quran. And that is the reason why a person gets the fruit of Ramadan. The person who is able to engage with the Quran, connect with the Quran, reaps the benefit of the month of Ramadan, which I'm going to state now briefly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah said, we have made fasting to become obligatory upon you, the way it was made obligatory upon those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you might attain piety, so that you attain piety. Attaining that piety is when one carries out the activities that are required in the month of Ramadan, starting with the Quran itself, recitation, memorization, studying, having classes about the Quran. Let's not forget, it is the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Isra, verse 9, that إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ, verily this Quran, يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ, it guides to that which is most upright and just. وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and it gives glad tidings to the believer. So reciting the Quran guides one to that which is the best of practices. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions also, so we get guidance when we recite the Quran, when we connect with the Quran, we get guidance. Two, we get Allah's mercy and we get healing in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ. We have revealed in the Quran, مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ, that which is healing, وَرَحْمَةٌ, and which is mercy لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, to the believers, also in Surah Al-Isra, verse 82. So it means there is healing in the Quran, there is healing in the recitation of the Quran. The healing here is healing from physical diseases and healing from spiritual diseases. A person who has some physical ailment should engage in the recitation of the Quran and he will get healed, bi-idhnillah. The person who has spiritual diseases like envy, like arrogance, like hatred in his heart, hypocrisy, one of the means of healing those diseases is the recitation of the Quran. Likewise, the Quran, reciting the Quran, gives a person that supernatural strength, making him to do what other people cannot do. Your connection with the Quran can give you a kind of strength to do some things others would not be able to do. You do some supernatural things according to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَتْ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى بَلْ لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا. This is Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 31. Allah said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا, and if there had been a Quran, سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ, with which mountains could be moved from their positions, أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ, or the earth could be clothed asunder with that Quran, أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى, or a Quran that could be used to make the dead to speak, it would have been no other Quran than this Quran. If there had been any Quran that you could use to move mountains from their positions, if there had been any Quran you would recite and the earth would go asunder, it would tear apart, or you want to use a Quran to make the dead to come back to life, then it would have been this Quran. That is to tell you the strength and the power in the Quran. Even when most people neglect the Quran, they abandon the Quran, they desert the Quran, making the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain to his Lord, when Allah said, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. O Allah, my people have deserted the Quran, they have abandoned the Quran. And abandoning the Quran could be in terms of not reciting the Quran, it could be in terms of not memorizing the Quran, it could be in terms of not believing in the messages of the Quran, it could be in terms of not walking with the Quran. Ala ayyati halin, the bottom line is that reciting the Quran is one way we could get the benefit of the month of Ramadan, because in the Quran it guides us to the best practices, the Quran gives us healing, the Quran is a mercy, and the Quran is a power, a source of supernatural power that gives us the strength to do what others cannot do. So that means that we need to engage, even before Ramadan, we need to start practicing how to connect with the Quran, or how to reconnect with the Quran, because that is mostly going to be our activities in the month of Ramadan. Let us look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he lived, how his companions lived, how the pious predecessors lived, how they connected themselves with the Quran. There is no way Ramadan can be separated from Quran in terms of recitation, in terms of listening to tafsir, in terms of memorizing some portions of the Quran. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a serious connection between the two, Ramadan and Quran, when he said, "As-siyamu wal Quranu yashfi'ani lil-'abdi yawm al-qiyamah." As-siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan, wal Quran, and the Quran, yashfi'ani lil-'abdi yawm al-qiyamah, they would intercede on behalf of a slave on the day of judgment. Yaqul as-siyam, fasting will be saying, "Ay Rabb, O my Lord, mana'tuhu at-ta'ama والشهوة. I deprived him of his food and I deprived him of his urge. فشفعني فيه. So give me his intercession." Assalamu alaikum. Are we together?
No. Wa alaikum salam.
Oh, all right. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said fasting would come, pleading on behalf of the one who observes it, saying, "Ya Allah, I deprived him his food, I deprived him his urge, he left all this and he observed me. فَشَفِعْنِي فِيهِ. So give me his intercession, let's forgive him his sins and let him enter paradise because of me." وَيَقُولُ الْقُرْآنِ, and the Quran would say, مَنَعْتُهُ النَّوْمَ بِاللَّيْلِ, I deprived him sleeping at night. He was always reciting me, praying at night, reciting the Quran. فَشَفِعْنِي فِيهِ, So let him enter paradise because of me. Qala the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَيْشَفَّعَانَ. And that is how they will be given the intercession of that person. So our preparation as far as Ramadan is concerned, like Malam said before now, he said it's not about preparing the schedule for food, it's not about how to change the furniture in the house, it's not about how to change our wardrobes, it is about how we intend to get the benefits of Ramadan, so that we get that taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned at the end of the day. Because taqwa is that, the fruits of taqwa is not something we could compromise and leave. I'm going to read out some of them to us, inshallah. But like I said, our connection with the Quran, as far as Ramadan is concerned, should be as never before. And I want to change, I want us to change an impression that some people have. And I think it is part of the devil's work. It is part of the whispering of Shaitan. Some people find it difficult. They feel it is better for them to remain the way they are even before Ramadan. They feel, no, when Ramadan comes, you don't have to increase anything you don't do, because they feel that doing that makes you to be, like some people say, you become a Ramadan Muslim. So they say they are Ramadaniyun, those who practice and are only holy in the month of Ramadan. That mindset is not really a healthy one. It is an unhealthy mindset. The month of Ramadan is a month we are supposed to step up our activities, step up our ibadah. What we do outside Ramadan, we step it up in the month of Ramadan. And probably after the month of Ramadan, there is every tendency we could have a relapse. So that doesn't make a person a Ramadan Muslim. No, it doesn't. Rather, it is like following the pattern and the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that of the pious predecessors. So we should step up our intentions, make our intentions that we are going to be stepping up our ibadat and planning how we intend to relate with the Quran in terms of recitation, in terms of memorization, which we are going to be talking about in a while, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But I want us to look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam related with the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known to have contact with Jibreel. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu mentioned, he said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the most generous of people. صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet was the most generous of all. Anas said, وأجود ما يكون في رمضان. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس وأجود ما يكون في رمضان. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the most generous of all people. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to be most generous fi Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, حين يلقاه جبريل, when Jibreel comes in contact with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam has a contact with Jibreel in the month of Ramadan every single night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have a mudarata, a lesson in the Quran with Jibreel every night. And so Jibreel alayhi salam goes through the whole of the Quran on a monthly basis in the month of Ramadan. The whole of the Quran will be completed with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the month of Ramadan. And that is why we see scholars engaging in teachings as far as the Quran is concerned. And this hadith also tells us that the one who recites the Quran, the one who has a connection with the Quran, is most likely going to be a person who would be generous, because the Quran increases the generosity of a person, including the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to be the most generous of all, and the time he used to be most generous is when Jibreel meets him and recited the Quran with him. And the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, Jibreel alaihi salatu wasalam met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and completed the Quran twice with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is to tell us the connection between the Quran and the fasting in the month of Ramadan. That when we fast in the month of Ramadan, then it means we imbibe that habit of being generous. We have that habit of being generous. And it is when we become generous that we reap the benefit associated with assisting those who fast, helping those who fast in the month of Ramadan, helping those who fast, feeding them, having muwatat, sharing, the month of sharing, because they call it shahrul muwatat, the month of sharing. And that's why you find a lot of the pious predecessors preferring people over themselves. It is said that Kana ibn Umar radiallahu anhu yasumu. Abdullah ibn Umar, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would fast, wa la yufiru illa ma'al masakin. And he doesn't break his fast except when there are needies around him. فَإِذَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَهْلُهُ عَنْهُ. When his family do not allow him to observe the iftar with those needies, لَمْ يَتَعَشَّ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَةِ. Abdullah ibn Umar refuses to break his fast that night. وَكَانَ إِذَا جَاءَهُ سَائِلٌ. And he was such that whenever a beggar comes to him, وَهُوَ عَلَى طُعَامِهِ. While he is eating his food, أَخَذَ نَصِيبَهُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ وَقَامَ. He takes his own portion of the food and stands up. فَعَطَاهُ السَّائِلُ. And he gives it to the beggar. فَيَرْجُعُ وَقَدْ أَكَلَ أَهْلُهُ مَا بَقِيَ فِي الْجَفْنَةِ. And he goes back only to find out that his family had finished the remaining food. فَيُسْبِحُ صَائِمًا. And he continues his fasting like that. وَلَمْ يَأْكُلْ شَيْئًا. He doesn't eat anything. This is because that month is a month of sharing. And the only time a person has that spirit of sharing, one of the fundamental ways of developing the habit of sharing is for one to connect his heart with the Quran. Reciting the Quran, pondering about the meanings of the Quran, it gives the person a kind of strength that he needs to get. And when we observe fasting, fasting in the month of Ramadan, reciting, having our routine to recite the Quran, whether during the morning, during the day. Yes, people have their engagement, but we should understand that the benefits we want to get in the month of Ramadan is beyond whatever we acquire in this world. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you might have taqwa. That taqwa is when you have a Ramadan that is packaged with a lot of spiritual activities, not just making it a routine that I have not eaten, I am not drinking, and no sexual intercourse, and by so one wants to attain the taqwa that he needs to get. No. The doors of paradise that we are opened, the doors of hell that we are closed, the shayateen, the devil that we are tied down, we are not tied down for you to just stop eating and drinking and stop having sexual intercourse during the day. No, it goes beyond that. We are expected to do more so that we can have that taqwa. And when we have the taqwa, that is the result. That is the result of the fasting in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is like just see Ramadan as an institution where a person goes, where a person gains admission and then he does some things. And when he graduates, he's given a certificate. Now the certificate that you get when you graduate from Ramadan is at taqwa. You are given a certificate of taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to help you, that is why He gives you that opportunity so that you can easily make your taqwa. Because when you have taqwa, I will read out five things. There are so many, but I will mention just five. Out of the benefits we tend to get, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to be able to engage well in our recitation of Quran in the month of the Quran, then inshallah we tend to get the taqwa that gives some of these things we are going to be talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض. ولو أن أهل القرى had it been the people of the towns would believe and have taqwa. This taqwa you want to get when you observe the month of Ramadan. This taqwa you want to get when you observe Qiyam al-Layl. This taqwa you want to get when you have, when you observe Taraweeh. That taqwa, Allah said, if only the people of the cities, the people of the towns believe and have taqwa, He said, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ would have opened for them blessings from the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, it shows the value of taqwa. He said, barakatin, blessings, the blessings of wealth, the blessings of health, the blessings of children, the blessings in knowledge, the blessings in strength, barakatin. These blessings will come min as-sama'i wal-ardi, where we have taqwa. So taqwa gives us that. Another thing taqwa gives us is that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The person who has taqwa, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, anyone who has taqwa, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah gives him a way out of any predicament he finds himself. That is true. Three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes such a person based on his taqwa, depending on the level of his taqwa, he becomes honored before Allah. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Allah said, the most honored amongst you are those who have taqwa. Fourth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with that person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who have taqwa. And he said also, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who have taqwa. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُهِبِلِيهِ إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. If you have the taqwa of Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانَ, Allah will give you a criterion through which you will be able to differentiate between that which is good and that which is bad. So my brothers and sisters, all of these that I have talked about now is nothing but just a clarion call for us to know that Ramadan is a month of opportunity. It is a month where people will spiritually develop themselves easily in a favorable environment. We have to prepare for it. And one of the best preparations is for us to have a routine on how we recite our Quran. From the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is for us to have, whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan, there is what is called al-khatma. That is a routine of completing the Quran. A routine of completing the Quran. Where a person designs for himself a kind of program on how he would complete the Quran, whether on a monthly basis or maybe in 2 months he wants to complete the Quran, or in 3 months, or maybe on in 11 months. You should have,
recording in progress.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
No, we lost you for a few seconds.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Now, so what we are saying is that we should just understand that the month of Ramadan is a complete package that will assist us. Let's have a routine on how we intend to move into the month of Ramadan. That khatma we are talking about is a kind of schedule a person makes for himself. That schedule will be based on how do I complete the Quran. The pious predecessors have that. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have that. They have a schedule on how they complete the Quran. And that's why you see in the hadith of Amr bin al-As, or Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As, when the Prophet ﷺ was asking him and he was engaging the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the way he completes his Quran. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I completed the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam told him, you can complete the Quran in a month. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, inni ajiduni qawiyya. I have more strength. I have enough strength that I can do more than that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, okay, complete it in 15 days. That is called al-khatma. He said, Ya Rasulullah, 15 days is too much. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, you can't complete the Quran. Okay, complete the Quran in a week. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inni ajiduni qawiyya. I have more strength. I can do more than that. And the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, complete the Quran in 3 days and don't go below that. Because the one who recites the Quran in less than 3 days will not comprehend the Quran. And that's to tell you that the value, the completion of the Quran. And when you recite the Quran, have a schedule for the recitation of the Quran. When you complete the Quran, it is also part of the tradition of the pious predecessors to call their family and pray for them. But when they get to the final part of the Quran, they call their family and they pray for them, like Anas bin Malik would do. Whenever he does his khatma, he calls the family together and he prays for everybody. Because that which you have done is one thing that will provide for you the path of your prayers being answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now when Ramadan now sets in, those khatma we do will not be stepped up. There are those who complete the Quran. There are those who complete the Quran, let's say on monthly basis. When the month of Ramadan begins, they reschedule their routine such that they complete the Quran in the first 10 days. They try to complete the Quran in the first 10 days. Now, when the second 10, that is the second third of the month, sets in, like on the 11th day, they complete the Quran once in 3 days. They complete the Quran once in 3 days. And when the third, when the last third comes in, that is from, let's say, the 21st day to the final, to the 27th day, there they try to complete the Quran every day. And when they move to the last third part of Ramadan, they complete the Quran once in the morning and once at night. They step up the recitation of the Quran as the month is passing by. It is not as we mostly do, that when the Ramadan begins, we have that energy and everybody goes to the mosque for Taraweeh and we begin to pray and we are so active in the mosque. And after the first thought, that is on the 10th day, you find that maybe half of the mosque are no longer attending Taraweeh prayer. And then when you move to the second half, then you find, and then when you move to the third, that is not the way the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are. So we should try to see how we make our engagements to fit into making our Ramadan to be packed with recitation of the Quran. Really, that is one of the fundamental things we will do to connect our hearts spiritually to the month of Ramadan. It is by recitation of the Quran. We can have also a schedule to memorize a verse of the Quran per day. For those of us who are not very, very strong in terms of memorization, just make yourself connected to the Quran that, okay, I want to memorize, depending on what you have memorized before now. If you have memorized, like, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى تُنَاسِ, then see how you can increase what you have memorized. For those of us that have memorized maybe Amma, Tunas, you increase something. Let the month of Ramadan be a month in which we connect ourselves to the Quran. Because like I have said, the connection between the month of Ramadan and the recitation of the Quran, learning Quran, and Alhamdulillah, today from the comfort of your home, you can learn the Quran. So let's not give ourselves the excuse that, well, I don't know how to recite the Quran, and it's been very, I'm a very busy person, I'm a career person. No, let's not give ourselves that excuse. No matter how old we are, we can still learn the Quran. And when I say learn the Quran, I mean we can still learn reciting the Quran. And even, let's say, the worst case where a person will not be able to recite the Quran, then don't disconnect from the meanings of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, now we have translated Quran. I know of people, I have an elderly person I know in Port Harcourt that I've interacted with a number of times. This is a man that I have never had quoting the Arabic version of the Quran. I have never had him quoting an Arabic version of the Quran. But he will tell you in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, and he will quote it in verbatim, the way the translation is. I really appreciate that man. Even when he is not an Arabic-based person, he is not disconnected away from his Quran. He made sure that the word of his Lord is part and parcel of his life. He is, to me, like he's a scholar, even when he does not speak Arabic, because he has a very good understanding of the book of Allah. Likewise, here in Kaduna, where I stay, I know of a former minister that has this kind of understanding of the Quran. I have not had him quoting a verse of the Quran with Arabic language, in Arabic language. But I'm telling you, when it comes to understanding the details and the messages of the Quran, he quotes a verse and he translates the verse in Hausa language. God, yeah, coming back.
Recording in progress.
So, assalamu alaikum. Sorry, I'm having some glitches here.
So
what I'm saying is, this is a person that doesn't speak Arabic, yet he is seriously connected with the Book of Allah. He is extremely connected. And when he speaks, you learn from him. So what I'm saying is, let's not give ourselves the excuses of age, the excuses of engagement. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually created us for us to worship him. It wouldn't be nice that we go back to Allah and we fall under the category of those that the Prophet ﷺ complained to Allah, saying, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Those who have abandoned the Quran, they never took time to connect themselves well with the Quran. So we can, it's something we can do, and I encourage us to try as much as possible to do that. For those of us that speak Arabic and can read Arabic, superb. For those of us that cannot, I think we should start learning. Don't allow age to be a barrier. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, alayhi rahmatullah, mentioned in his Sahih, ta'aliqan, he said, Umar radiallahu anhu said, ta'allamu, learn. فَإِنَّ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَعَلَّمُوا كِبَارًا. The companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم learned the Quran, they learned the Sunnah while they were aged. They were not young when they learned. So we should also take it up as a challenge. And because we are moving into Ramadan, it's a very good timing. Learning Quran can be in Ramadan. And like I said, we have opportunity, it is part of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that today from the comfort of your home, you can learn the Quran. You can have people teach you the Quran. Please have a teacher that will teach you the Quran, how to recite the Quran. Perhaps I will use a real life experience to motivate us for some of us that are not very conversant with the Quran and maybe are about despairing, that look, let me just focus on something else. Wallahi, you can still work on learning the Quran. You can still do it. There is a class that was organized by a group of brothers for adults. When I say adults, I mean old men. The class was organized. And when these people came to the class, basically they had nothing. They were not reading Arabic, they were not reading the Quran, and the class was meant for them to learn how to recite the Quran. And alhamdulillah, when they started the class, they were picking and they started reciting the Quran. Finally, or later, as Allah would have it, the class, the school itself collapsed. And the only section of the school that was functional was that class meant for those old men. All they do is they come to the class, sit down together, open the mushaf, and they read. And whenever it is time for them to close, they put a sign and they go back home. And they come the following day, and that's all they do. And they are so fulfilled and happy that, yes, alhamdulillah, now we can recite the word of Allah. We are not going back to Allah saying, Ya Allah, we could not access your words. We couldn't read your works, your words. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that ability to be able to connect and focus on the Quran in this month, in the month of Ramadan, before the month of Ramadan, after the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran to be part of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran to be the joy of our heart. Allahumma ja'al al-Quran rabi'a qulubina wa nura sudurina wa ja'ala ahdanina. This is one of the prayers the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make. And the Prophet said, anybody who makes that prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make his, whatever problem he has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would eradicate the problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be our guide. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. May Allah spare our lives to witness Ramadan, fast in the month of Ramadan, with health and happiness and joy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us steadfast. May He accept our ibadat. The Al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali would mention in Lata'if al-Ma'arif, he said the pious predecessors would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them reach the month of Ramadan 6 months before the month of Ramadan. Their engagement would be, Ya Allah, let us reach Ramadan. Ya Allah, let us reach Ramadan. Ya Allah, let us reach Ramadan. 6 months before Ramadan. Then they would now engage in ibadat. They would engage in tarawih. They would engage in qiyam al-layl. They would engage in fasting. They would engage in assisting the poor. They would engage in feeding the people who are fasting. Because when you feed a person who is fasting, you get his reward and your own reward. They make mu'atat. They feed. They assist others who are fasting. They do all of these things, and the moment Ramadan passes, they spend the next 6 months begging Allah and asking Allah to accept their ibadat in the month of Ramadan. So to them, the whole of the year is about Ramadan. It's about either praying that Allah takes you to Ramadan, or you are praying that Allah accepts your work in Ramadan. We pray that with Allah and make us to reach Ramadan. And we pray that He subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept our works. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayhi. I pray that the little I have said will be of benefit to us here in this world and the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those whom He is going to forgive and emancipate from hell. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this beneficial to us. Barakallahu feekum. I think with this, I want to pause. If we have any question, maybe inshallah we will take them. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Ahsanallahu alaikum. Thank you so much for that wonderful and insightful, much needed reminder at this time. May Almighty Allah continue to prolong your life in goodness and improve your knowledge of Islam. Thank you so much. I'll just quickly run through a summary of what, for those that are joining late, for what our Sheikh has been preaching to us in the past 1 hour, and the topic is on Ramadan, and how we can utilize the Quran during the month of Ramadan, preparing for Ramadan using the Quran. And our Sheikh emphasized the significance of Ramadan itself, and that it's the month in which the Quran was revealed, and all doors of paradise are open during this period. And also the connection between the Quran and Ramadan, our Sheikh also emphasized that there is a strong relationship between the two most blessed gift, that is Ramadan, and the Quran itself. The main activities involve the Quran during the month of Ramadan. So our Taraweeh prayer, Qiyamul Layl, involves Quran itself. So that's why we have that connection and the relationship between the Quran and Ramadan. And also that the Prophet ﷺ increases his generosity during this month of Ramadan as well. So, and one of the benefits, some of the benefits that our Sheikh mentioned as part of reciting the Quran is that the recitation itself is an act of worship. So it's an ibadah, and even if we don't understand what we are reading. So, and each letter recited will earn us 10 reward. And the Quran provides guidance towards what is most upright and just. So I don't want to waste much time on the call, so I'll just give room for questions and answers. Question. So I have a question there on the chat saying that when should one stop eating in the morning? So I believe the questioner is asking at what period are we expected to stop eating sahur in the month of Ramadan?
Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Basically, we in terms of timing, there might be no specific or universal timing, but what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given us the time is before the Fajr, before the dawn appears. And so by extension, because not everybody would want to start looking into the horizon to see whether the Al-Fijr is out or not. So basically we just peg it down to when the Adhan is made. When the Adhan is made for Fajr prayer, that is the second Adhan, then one is expected to have stopped eating by then.
The second question here says that should an individual that does not understand Arabic but can read the Quran, read both the Quran and the translation, or is it just reading the Quran or the translation alone? Is that enough?
Reading the translation of the Quran does not earn you the reward of Alif Lam Mim having 30 rewards, because those are English alphabet. So one is expected to learn how to recite the Arabic version of the Quran. That is the most important. But if one is able to recite the Arabic and he doesn't know the meaning, then he should read the translation so that he combines between recitation and understanding, and then he asks scholars on the implementations of what he has read. Now.
The other question here is on the Quran as well. Is it permissible to hold the Mus'haf while praying Taraweeh at night, like holding the Quran and reciting from the Quran for those that are still struggling to memorize, and maybe during Taraweeh, is it permissible for us to hold the Mus'haf and read directly from the Mus'haf?
Yes, it is allowed. It is permissible for someone who has not memorized the Quran or needs to hold the Mus'haf to be able to recite maybe longer portions of the Quran during his Taraweeh, it is allowed for him to hold it. One of the freed slaves of Aisha radiallahu anha will do that in leading them.
So another question here says, may Allah continue to preserve you and strengthen you.
Amen.
So based on the hadith of Amr that you mentioned, you said one should recite the Quran in 3 days. But you mentioned that one can complete it in one day. So the person needs explanation. More explanation to that.
Okay, yes. I mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him, the companion, that the one who recites the Quran in less than 3 days would not comprehend the Quran, and that is basic. But what we have mentioned also is that there are a number of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who recite the Quran and they complete its recitation in less than 3 days, sometimes a day, sometimes during the night, sometimes during their night prayers, like Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. when we read the tafsir of Amman huwa qanitun ana al-layli sajidan wa qa'iman yahdharu al-akhirata wa yarju rahmata rabbihi, it is said that it is referring to Uthman ibn Affan and the people of his nature who would recite the Quran and they pray throughout the night. And so the way we try to juxtapose between the two is understanding that the recitation of the Quran is of two types. There is reciting the Quran in order to ponder about its meaning, to really reflect. That recitation cannot be done in less than 3 days. And then there is the recitation that one does in order to get the reward alone. He is not really interested for during the recitation to ponder about the meaning. Rather, he only wants to get the reward associated with the recitation, those alphabets. So he just reads through. And that is also another acceptable type of recitation. And that is the one in which one can observe in less than 3 days.
No,
just about it's just about wanting to maximize the reward. He's not interested in learning now, he's just interested in getting the rewards. Maybe after the Ramadan, then he moves into studying and learning and reciting and pondering.
No. So I want to go back to your first question, the first question that you answered. The question is, for that question, you mentioned that when the second Adhan has been made, that we can stop eating. So based on the environment that we find ourselves there, we have few mosques around. So how do we know the exact time that the second Adhan? I know I'll just have to eat that. We have some people here use the application for calling prayer. So once maybe it's about 15 minutes to that time, we use our discretion and say, okay, that is when we can stop. But the question I was just asking, that how do we know the time, considering the fact that a lot of people don't have the opportunity to go to the mosque, and the mosque is far away from them?
Yes, in this case, we don't hear the Adhan, and we are not, we don't have maybe the experience to check ourselves to see whether Al-Fijr is out or not. I think the most realistic option we have is to use those apps when we know they are reliable. If we have any reliable app that can make Adhan and tell us based on the location we are, that okay, this is the time for Fajr prayer at this time, then you can just make, like, give it some 15 minutes, 10 minutes, yes, before you, then you stop eating. I think that's realistic. And using such means in the Sharia is not out of place at all, especially when we consider the hadith of Dajjal that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that he would come and during his stay in the world, one of the days is going to be like a year. And the companions were asking the Prophet ﷺ how they would observe their salah, and the Prophet ﷺ said they should use their discretion. So we can also use our discretion in such situations.
No, exactly. So I have another question here that says, may Allah reward you abundantly. The person wants to have for breastfeeding mothers that fears harm on herself or baby. So what is expected of her during the month of Ramadan?
Yes, what is expected of her is to first establish the fear. That means she would fast. And probably she might fear that she would not be able to, or her child is going to be harmed. And when she fasts, she realizes that she is okay and the child is also okay. So in such a situation, she should observe the fasting. But when it becomes a reality and she's sure that, yes, this fasting is harmful either to her or the child, then what is upon her is to feed a needy for every day she is not able to fast. She feeds a needy for every day she is not able to fast. She might do it simultaneously as she's fasting, she feeds, or she does it in arrears after the Ramadan.
No, Jazakumullah, parents. So the Sheikh, we have more questions coming. I hope you still have some time to share with us to answer them.
Yes, go ahead, inshallah. We are still having some little more time.
Now, Jazakallah. So the question says, what's the ruling on breaking the fast when the sun is no longer out, even though it's not time for Maghrib yet?
That question is complex. You see, the moment the sun is no longer out, meaning it is either maybe it's now under the cover of the cloud, that's the only time we'll say it's no longer, it's not yet time for Maghrib. And so one cannot break his fast at that time. But if the sun is no longer out because it has set, then it is already time for Maghrib even when the Adhan has not been made. Maybe that's what the question I want to say, that the Maghrib Adhan has not been made, but the sun has set. Now, if the person is sure that the sun has set, he can break his fast. But it has to be with assurance. If he breaks his fast, and maybe by omission or commission or whatever reason, the sun reappears, then he has to pay back that fasting.
I'll quickly go back to the previous question you answered before this one. So when you said feeding, is the person expected to feed just for sahu, or is it going to be both sahu and iftar?
No, just one meal. If the person is picking sahur, he picks sahur. If he wants to pick iftar, he picks the iftar. And so there is no harm in any of them, but just one meal is what is required.
Okay, I think that's answered the person's question. So, and there's a question here as well that mentioned that the person has had in a lecture somewhere that we should finish our sahur that we have already started when Fajr is set in. So is this only for the food in the mouth, or even though we have some food in the plate? So are we expected to finish the whole food in the plate, or is it just the one that we have in the mouth?
Well, you see the hadith that when the Adhan is made and one of you has his bowl in his hand eaten, then let him finish it. Let him not leave the food, he should finish it. That is how the hadith came. وَفِي يَدِ أَحَدِكُمْ إِنَاءٌ. Then you have a bowl in your hand and the Adhan is made. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, you can finish it. But I think we should try as much as possible to avoid that kind of situation where we would be so late in eating to the extent that the Adhan will be made and will be forced to be eaten then. I would advise that even if one is eating, he should swallow the one in his mouth, and that's all. Even though I am not prohibiting eating from the plate also, but to be on the safe side. No.
So there's one more question here that says that is it allowed? It's on Zakat now. So is it allowed to use to pay Zakat for a mosque project? So if we hear that there's a mosque project ongoing and the person wants to pay Zakat, can that Zakat go directly to build a mosque or for any mosque project?
The masarif of Zakat, the channels where we can direct our Zakat are specifically mentioned in the Quran, and they are 8. So many people consider وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ that was mentioned in that verse to be that anything that is religious. And that's a little bit not very correct. So وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ there refers to jihad in the cause of Allah. And some scholars have considered Hajj to also be fi sabilillah because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam actually mentioned that. But when there is a mosque project, it is not fi sabilillah. It is yes because of Allah, but not the fi sabilillah that is mentioned in the verse. So one should look for either a needy, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَفِي وَالْمُعَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ والغارمين وفر القاب وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل. These are 8 categories of people that Allah has mentioned. These are the needy, the poor, those who are working, the zakat administrators, or those whom we want to draw their minds to Islam, or those who are indebted, or those who are actually in captivity, then fi sabilillah. That is jihad in the cause of Allah. So so one should get one of these eight.
I can't see any other questions here. So thank you so much, Sheikh, for joining us. I would like to thank each and every one of us as well for joining this lecture. May Almighty Allah continue to be with us. May Almighty Allah continue to guide us and improve our knowledge of our Islam.
Ameen.
I will pray to Allah to make the Quran the spring of our heart, the light of our chest,
Ameen.
And the mover of our sadness,
Ameen.
And the reliever of our worries.
Ameen.
We pray to Allah to grant us the sincerity in reciting the Quran,
Ameen.
Understanding its meaning, and struggling us to act upon its guidance.
Ameen.
We also pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran intercessors for us, not against us on the day of judgment. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم